Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey there, Hill Folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. We're so thankful that you guys could join us again for another week, for another episode. We've had a really great time here these last few weeks. We've had a lot of really awesome guests. You got to hear us banter back and forth and go on wild tangents. Just the three AI guys with you as always tonight. Your hosts Justin, Ryan, and Lance. We were set up to have a guest for tonight, but he is suffering with an illness right now. So we're praying for him and sending our best wishes his way. Hope he feels better and can get on here and chop it up with us pretty soon. As you Hill Folk know, we have done a whole lot of talking about conspiracy, about society, about our super crazy awesome adventure in this whole Swift Silver Mine thing and the Cliff Rock carvings. We've kind of taken a slight left, a slight detour away from the paranormal. But at the end of the day, this is always going to be a paranormal podcast. We love the weird. We love diving into things that we can't explain, things that we have no idea about. And as probably most of you guys out there that are listening to this show, you probably love October and spooky season as much as we do. So, October, we're going hard in the paint. Okay, right. We're going super hard in the paint. Every episode is going to be creepier, weirder, scarier than the last. We have a whole month planned out already. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of scares. It's going to be a lot of bone-chilling stories. So you guys get excited for the month of October because we're excited to dive in and talk about some of the things we're going to be talking about. Like we like to do, especially when it's just the three of us, when we get love, we like to show love. So our 5-star review for this episode comes from Clown Around, and it says, "Fantastic conversation. Have been subbed to your channel for a few weeks now and love the banter between you and your opinions on the topics you discuss. Keep up the excellent work, lads," from Adam in England. Our first review from across the pond, baby. How do you boys feel about that one?
That's awesome. Thank you, Adam. Hope you continue to enjoy, and we'll continue to banter back and forth.
And we'll continue to just be three absolute stooges. You keep listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll continue to clown around. That's all we do. No, Adam,
I see
we really
what you did there.
Yeah. You know me. Got to put a little clever spin on it. No, Adam, we really do appreciate it, man. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate the 5-star reviews most definitely, because that helps the show out so much. But you heel folk out there, y'all have really been pushing the show. And for that, we can't express the amount of gratitude that we have for that. Because, I mean, for the last few weeks, we've charted in the top, 150, 200 podcasts in our category in 4 different countries. Like, that's awesome, man. We're charting in the U.S., we're charting in Canada, we're charting in Great Britain, we're charting in Norway. I mean, it's awesome. And we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to see the growth of this podcast and to be able to build a community and interact with a community and just have the conversations, man. That's all we've ever wanted to do, was just have the conversations. And you heel folk out there, you're making it possible. And for that, we are forever grateful. It's super awesome. And you guys keep on checking it out, because I promise we're going to keep bringing it every week. We've got some big, big plans scheduled for the future. And we just love hanging out with y'all. We love sitting down and talking to each other, hanging out with each other, and hanging out with you hill folk.
Yeah, we love doing this, period.
We don't really understand why people are listening to us, but hey, appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
We don't know why, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to me, man. It's unbelievable to me that anybody would sit down and spend the time out of their day to listen to what we have to say about anything.
Intimately plugging us into their ear holes, like just having this intimate, just moment.
Getting us all up in there.
Just right in those two orifices, just hearing our conversations, just let them penetrate the inner workings of their eardrums. Man. And just spending some serious quality time with these three idiots. We don't know why, but we greatly, greatly appreciate your continued ear canal penetration listening opportunities that you're giving us.
Do you know what I want to say so bad right now, Justin? But I can't, because it belongs to somebody else.
I know exactly what you want to say, but you're not Dan Cummins, okay? No. You're not.
Hey. He put it out there. Lucy Finn is for everybody, he said.
You can be Ryan Ratliff. Yeah. But you can never be Dan Cummins.
I can never be Dan.
You gotta be the best Ryan Ratliff that you can be.
And I try.
You do. You do a good job of it.
Best I can be at everything.
You do a good job of it.
Nobody naps more than me or better than me. You know what, though? All that being said, back to what we were talking about, I really do appreciate everybody that listens and supports us, because it's just us three, and it's just us having conversations, putting our opinions to things, and that's all they are, opinions. And what's great is we probably have listeners that don't agree with our opinions but still listen, and that's what we were going for with this show the whole time. You don't have to agree with us to listen to us, and we don't have to agree to get along.
Yeah. And again, putting it out there, if you totally and completely disagree with some of the things that we're saying on here, whether it be, societal or cultural basis, some of the things that we think or have said, or, involved in the paranormal or, whatever it is, if you have a huge disagreement with anything that we're saying, talk to us about it. Yeah. Shoot, we'll give you a platform to come on the show and express your opinion. Like that's what this is about.
Change my mind.
Yeah. It's a platform for people to be able to express their opinions, express their viewpoints without judgment. We've had, and I know, believe me, I know, that we've upset some people with some of the conversations that we've had on here over the course of the last few episodes. And again, like Ryan said, these are our opinions. They're the way that we see things based on our worldviews, our faith, our upbringing, our life experiences. We don't have to see the same things the exact same way to have a conversation. Just like Lance said a couple weeks ago, that's how society progresses, is through debate. Society progresses by being able to come together and look at scenarios in other people's shoes, and to be able to put yourself and to be able to be open-minded enough to say, okay, you know what? This is what I believe, but you tell me what you believe and tell me why you believe that. And if you can convince me to believe otherwise, then I will. You know, I'm not standing on any solid concrete foundation other than a couple things. You know, we've talked about that on here before. My faith, for sure. You're not going to knock me off of that. And thank God. I told Ryan the other day, I've been doing a whole lot of looking in and a bunch of stuff. And I said, it's a really good thing that I'm as strong in my faith as I am, because I could get witchy real quick, I believe. So interested.
Oh, man.
Don't look at me like that, Lance. You're judging me right now. I saw the judgment.
I don't judge. I just wanted to interject during this slurp fest we're giving ourselves here. Seduce us, as Maverick said. Seduce us with your opinions.
Yeah.
Listen, we all like to be seduced. Can't tell me you don't.
I don't like just having conversations and hanging around people that agree with me 100% on everything.
Seduce me with your opinions. Give me the reason why. Give me the verifiable facts on why you believe what you believe. And I'm probably going to say, you know what? It's a better opinion than what I've got. Probably going to adopt it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad we put all that out there. That wasn't just a us slurp fest, Lance. That was a heel folk slurp fest. We're slurping on the heel folk right now. Okay?
God. Lance, why you get a point out where we're kissing our ass?
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm
having a real hard time not touching my soundboard right now.
All right.
That's what she did.
All right, heel folk. Give us 1 minute to clean our mouths up and we're gonna get to this story. That's
speaking of story, we've got an awesome story for you heel folk today. How many times have we said heel folk already? I'm going to quit saying heel folk.
You said it a lot.
We've got an awesome story for y'all today. Okay. So all this has kind of been a little last minute. There's not been a whole lot of preparation to go into this, but I would be lying if I said that a whole lot of preparation went into any of this, because we just like shooting from the hip and talking this stuff. If you guys are looking for like hardcore research, fact-based podcast,
you a long time ago. Back in the small catalog we have, you know, we don't have major catalogs like other guys, but we told you a long time ago. Don't hold everything we say, and don't think you're going to learn. Like, we're not teachers, we're learners.
The only research we do is like how quick I can Google stuff.
Yeah. That's it.
There's been times I've looked things up, and you know, the one time I wrote down a bunch of questions for a specific guest, but I never got to ask any of them because they wouldn't show up.
Well, now look, I do, and we have, yeah, when we do have guests on here, I mean, I do my homework on the guests.
Sure, yeah, of course. You know?
But as far as like topics and stuff, there's not a whole lot of homework going on. I'm going to find really cool stories, really cool things that interest me. And if they are totally fiction, oh, well, I'm not diving that deep to find out. I mean, that's up to somebody else. I'm going to tell the really cool story. We're going to talk about that and have a good time with it. Yeah. And this one today, look, y'all out there, you know, we talk about it on here all the time. Central Appalachia, where we live, it's super weird, man. It's super weird. You want to talk high strangeness? I would put Central Appalachia up against any other location on Earth as far as in the high strangeness category. You know, I'm putting us up there in the pound for pound, you know, number one in the world.
Well, absolutely. Just go to freaking Walmart.
Yeah. Seriously.
Sorry, I guess that's probably
there's a lot of high strangeness in Walmart.
Better have your rabies shots up to date, that's for sure.
But today we're looking at and we're talking about a UFO collision with a train, a CSX train, in Paintsville, Kentucky. Paintsville is about 70, 80 miles from where I'm located. About an hour and a half, hour 40 minute drive. So, you know, we're talking just, you know, right next door. And look, I know some of y'all out there hear an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minute drive, and you're thinking, oh my God, that's not close. That's so far away. Look, I got to drive 50 minutes to get to a Walmart. Okay.
Yeah.
An hour and a half is nothing. When people talk about driving a country or something being a country mile, there's a reason it's called a country mile, because it takes a little bit longer than a regular mile. Okay. You ain't driving around these ridges and up these hollers at no 60, 65, 70 mile an hour. And if you try it, there's going to be some old man, old lady standing out in the front yard screaming and throwing stuff at you on the way by. It ain't going to be good.
We're not talking four lanes here, folks. And probably if you make it to that screaming old people, you might end up wrapped around a tree, because you can wipe your brake lights off in some of these curves as you take them.
We ain't even talking two lanes in a lot of places.
No, we're talking one lanes. Like, it looked like a driveway.
Been washed out for 47 years.
And no paint. You just got to guess. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm on my side.
Yeah. All right. So getting into this.
UFO collision with a
CSX train in Paintsville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go, baby. I've not heard this story. I've been excited about this one for a while. Let's go.
This is nuts.
All right, let's do it. This is from the National UFO Reporting Center website. All right. This occurred on January the 14th, 2002. Now, what I'm reading here, sorry, look, quick little sidebar. What I'm reading here is allegedly the report put out from the whatever of the train, the supervisor, conductor, whatever of the train, whoever the supervisory position was on the train. This is their report based on this incident and this encounter, allegedly. Okay, so this occurred on January the 14th, 2002 at 2:47 a.m. It was reported to the National UFO Reporting Center website on April the 3rd, 2006, so almost 4 years later, at 11:51 a.m. The location was Paintsville, Kentucky. Now, I'm going to say Paintsville for y'all out there. It's Paintsville. Okay, that's how you spell it. Paintsville.
It's Paintsville.
It's Paintsville.
Paintsville.
It says the shape was a disc. The duration of the incident was 15 minutes. Train collision. That was just a brief little synopsis. At exactly 2:40.
Wait. The collision lasted for 15 minutes?
Just the everything as a whole. Like what this guy is reporting on, the duration was a 15-minute incident.
Oh, okay.
Approximately. At exactly 2:47 a.m. on January the 14th, 2002, while working a coal train en route from Russell, Kentucky to Shelbyana, Kentucky, our trailing unit and first two cars were severely damaged as we struck an unknown floating or hovering object. I know it was 2:47 because my watch froze and to this day shows that time. Along with my watch, the entire electrical systems on both locomotives went haywire. approaching a bend near milepost CMG 42 in an area referred to as the Wild Kingdom for the many different types of animals spotted there, my conductor and I saw lights coming from around the way. So I guess it wasn't the conductor, or somebody else. This ordinarily means another train is coming and will pass on the other track. The outlay of the area is this: the river, number one track, number two track, and a straight up mountainside carved out for the laying of these tracks. I killed our lights as to not blind the oncoming crew. As we rounded the corner, our onboard computer began to flash in and out, speed recorder went nuts, and both locomotives died. Alarm bells began to ring, and that's when we saw the objects. Apparently, scanning the river for something, the objects, at least three, had several searchlights trained there. The first object hovered about 10 to 12 feet above the track. Metallic silver in color, with multiple colored lights near the bottom and in the middle, no windows or openings of any kind that we could see. Approximately 18 to 20 feet in length and probably 10 feet high. With both engines dead, as we rounded the corner, we made little noise and the first object did not respond in time. I estimate that we hit the object at 30 miles per hour with 16,000 trailing tons behind us. It clipped the top of our lead, or it clipped the top of our lead unit, then skip back, slicing a chunk out of our trailing unit and first two coal cars. The other objects vanished into thin air. So vanished, not like sped off, but vanished into thin air. Our emergency brakes had initiated due to the loss of power, and we stopped approximately a mile and a half to 2 miles after impact. Our power restored after we were stopped, and we notified our dispatcher located in Jacksonville, Florida, of what had happened. We were told to inspect the cars to see if they'd hold the rail and try to limp into milepost CMG 60, which used to be the Paintsville yard, which is no longer in full operation. We checked everything out, and the cab of the rear locomotive was demolished and smoking. The second two cars looked as if they had been hit with a giant hammer, but looked like they'd hold the rail. We pulled into Paintsville Yard at approximately 5:15 a.m. The huge overhead lights lining the yard were noticeably dark, and the only lights came from what we assumed were railroad officials' vehicles parked near the end of the track. We pulled to a stop and began unloading our grips off the wounded train. We could hear what sounded like an army of workers immediately tending to our train. Vehicle doors slamming, guys running by in weird outfits, and lights glaring from all directions. The one thing missing was railroad officials. Crazy, man. A guy named Ferguson shook my hand and asked me to follow him into the old yard office. We did. Once inside, they, and by they, I mean I have no idea who these people were, began to ask us hundreds of questions. They then told us for our own protection, we'd be medically tested before we could leave. I asked repeatedly to talk to my road foreman or train master, and not only were these requests denied, but they confiscated my conductor's cell phone. Hours later, we were led outside the old yard office, and the strange things continued to happen. The two locomotives and two cars were removed from the rest of the train we had brought in, and my only guess was parked four tracks over under a huge tent, like structure buzzing with activity. We were led off property and told due to national security, our silence on this matter would be appreciated. We were then put in a railroad vehicle and taken to Martin, Kentucky, where we went through questioning again with railroad officials and were then drug tested. After all of this, we were sent on to Shelbyana, where we took rest for 8 hours and worked another train back to Russell. Working back, we passed by Paintsville. No sign of the engines, cars, tent, people, nothing.
Holy so that's crap, dude.
That's your story, boys. That is the story.
So I'm guessing he didn't see where it went once it hit him.
Well, he said the other two just vanished. He said the one which is it's so weird, man, because they talk about hitting this one in a totally and completely physical, like it's a physical thing. I mean, it clipped the top of the train, the lead car, and then took a chunk out of one of the following cars. But then these other two, like they find no pieces of it. I won't guess. It wasn't mentioned there. And then the other two, you know, they just vanish. But now, again, it said that they didn't stop until, you know, a mile and a half or 2 miles on down past. So if they would have, if there would have been like, you know, some kind of wreckage, I mean, I'm sure they didn't jump out of the train and run back a mile and a half or 2 miles to see.
God, I know if it had been one of us, we would have.
Yeah.
I'm going back there really quick.
These dudes definitely did not have a paranormal podcast.
No. Oh, man. But I'm betting whoever was at the train station waiting for them, what, made it to the wreckage site.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, the dude says, like, on the way back through, you know, they said they rested for 8 hours. They got back there, like, 2.5 hours later. So I'm going to say probably between 12 and 15 hours later, there's nothing, no sign of anything, like that anything had ever happened. And what I think is crazy is, or not crazy, what I think is really interesting are these officials. There were no railroad officials, according to this guy, according to this report. And now, what I'm reading this report off of, it's not like some nutso paranormal. This is like cs.trains.com. It's a train. It's a like a website about trains and things that are going on with trains. It's not a paranormal or UFO conspiracy type of thing. Lance, you got some thoughts. I see your face all folded up down there. What are you thinking?
My first thought is it's hard to, how do I say this elegantly? How quickly there were people, officials, whoever, right? Men in black, whatever. How quickly they were there to receive the train and talk to the conductor. So we know the area that is Paintsville, Kentucky. Like it's bigger than Hayside, obviously, but it's pretty similar to Wise. Like as far as where I live at, it's not a huge city. It's right off 23 there, and it's a pretty well traveled area. But there's, as far as I know, no military bases around Paintsville. No common knowledge military bases or anything like that, but just how quickly that the UFO officials were there to ask questions and to take his cell phone and to, like, how did they get there so fast?
Yeah. Cause it's only like what, 2.5 hours.
Right. And like, let's say that they are like the closest big city that you would think that the CIA or whoever, like whoever investigates these things, would have a location that people would stay in. Like the closest city to Paintsville was probably one going to be Charleston, West Virginia. It's not a huge city. Lexington, you're still looking 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And Lexington's not a huge city. It's not like a huge, I mean, it's compared to where we're at, it's a huge city, but it's not really a huge city in comparison to other cities in the nation. Like just in 2.5 hours, there are boots on the ground, UFO investigators, that's what we'll call them for lack of a better term. They're collecting evidence, getting rid of evidence, trying to clean this thing up, talking to these people, pretty much have this scene locked down, and they managed to get there. As soon as they hit the UFO, like did the conductor like send out a distress call, or like, I would imagine, I don't know much about trains, right? I'm not a train conductor, but I would imagine that them hitting branches that have fallen over, them kind of running into stuff, probably not like a super common thing, but probably not like a super rare thing either, right? Because especially in our area, the railroads, for the most part, you know, there's trees around, like, there's going to be stuff there that they're probably going to hit, I would imagine. Would you boys both agree? There's probably things they down branches and stuff that the train's not going to affect, like, or the, you know, it's not going to cause the train to derail or anything. So I'm sure he didn't like send the SOS call out as soon as they ran into something. I know we saw the lights and all the other things that kind of go with it, but like, you would think for them to show up there that fast, that one, they were tracking this UFO and knew location of it, or two, there's something else going on in the area. And then when he called into his superiors and said, hey, pretty sure I hit a UFO, like, they're listening to the radio, maybe. I mean, like, it just, to me, it's how in the world did they get there that fast and like pretty much have a base set up to take care of any outlying information or evidence they needed to clean up?
Well, according to this, it says that the engine died. Then they hit the object at around 30 miles per hour with 16,000 trailing tons behind them. Their emergency brakes had initiated due to the loss of power. Okay. And then they went a mile and a half to 2 miles.
Long time to slow that train down. Yeah, obviously.
And then it says their power restored after they were stopped. And as soon as their power was restored, they notified dispatch in Jacksonville. So with all of this going on, I would say probably still by probably around 3 o'clock, they were able to notify Jacksonville, I would say.
Jacksonville, Kentucky?
Jacksonville, Florida. Their dispatcher in Jacksonville, Florida.
The train dispatch.
Yeah, the train dispatch.
Right, I didn't think there was a Jacksonville, Kentucky. I was thinking Jacksonville, Florida. So, all right. So let's, and then in 2.5 hours, right? They're at the train depot and Ferguson is there and the people are there collecting the information, correct?
Yeah.
That's the account. So by 5:30, there's boots on the ground. I guess Lexington's 2.5 hours away. I mean, it's plausible that they could have, as soon as they got the call, hopped in the car and took off.
Well, here's something I've been thinking about.
Either one of those cities that you would think maybe might have, you know, a location that, you know, there's a branch of the division of the whatever it is that's studying these things or reporting these things.
Well, here's something I've been thinking about on it. And I've had a little more time to think on this story because I kind of just popped it up on you boys. And I've had a little bit of time to meld on my thoughts. But how often do we talk about, we still haven't done an actual episode on it. We really need to. But how often do we talk about the probability of domes in this area, in Central Appalachia?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So if you have these domes, these deep underground military bases, and you have them in locations that put them in close proximity to something like this. And here's my thing. If we're sitting here talking about how weird Central Appalachia is, the government knows how weird Central Appalachia is. They're going to put people in place. And this is just totally my beliefs, totally my opinion. There's going to be field agents out in different places all the time, I believe. I believe that you could probably contact one of these domes or whoever's in charge or whatever, and send teams out probably in no time to get to some of these places. I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. Like, if you already...
That makes total sense, sure.
If you already had teams that were put in place and always on constant, you know, on call constantly about hey, we got a report that this Bigfoot was hit on this log road. We need people to get there. Boom. People get there. I've heard all kinds of accounts of that. We've had this UFO sighting here. These people are saying this and this and this. It sounds different. Get there. Like, I believe that these, you know, whatever you want to call them. You want to call them men in black. You want to call them, you know, alphabet agency agents.
I like to refer to them as the Department of Defense.
The DOD.
That's, you're welcome for that. That's just what I call them. I mean, if there is a division of that going on, they are the ones that are controlling it.
Hey, look, there is a...
I would put it under Homeland Security.
I would put it under what, don't matter what it is, it's government. And government knows that some of these things they got to keep under wraps. Because, all right, look, and here's where sometimes I'm like... As a citizen of these United States of America, and especially somebody that's into the weird as much as I am, I hate that anything at all is classified. But I understand that some things are kept on a classified need to know kind of basis to keep down. It's like a crowd control kind of thing. Okay. Like, if you have 500 locals coming out to this place wide open, I mean, shoot, boys, y'all know in this area, if there's a daggone med fly that flies over and lands at the local high school football field, you've got 30 people driving up there just to see who it was.
See who can put it on Facebook first.
Yeah. Yep. Like, the last thing that needs to happen in some situations is a lot of people getting there. Because if we believe what we hear in some of these congressional UAP hearing UFOs, if we believe what we hear and we believe that the government doesn't know a whole lot about them, if we believe that they're learning like we're learning about these things and what they are and where they possibly come from and what propels them and all of these different things. If they have all this technology that the government's saying that they don't understand. Now there's a lot of documents out there and a lot of theories and a lot of all this different stuff that counteracts that. And I'm on board with either way, really. But if we believe what's coming from the mainstream right now, then that's like a crime scene. That's like somebody being murdered and just blasting the news out there for everybody. And everybody's coming into this place and trampling all over this crime scene and leaving fingerprints and doing all this different stuff. Well, if there was anything there to be found or learned, it's gone now. And things like this, that's kind of the same way that I feel about it. Like, if there's anything, if there was an actual craft, a nuts and bolts craft that hit the front of this train, took a chunk out of one of the following cars, if there's something to be learned there, then I feel like that's probably best case scenario to keep it under wraps for a while. Then once it's all said and done, here's how I would like. Hey, there was a UFO that collided with a train in Paintsville, Kentucky. All right. We sent agents in, treated it as a crime scene. We collected evidence. We did find this, 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 and this. No, we don't understand it. But yeah, we will be running tests on it. And you know what? We'll keep y'all updated. Like, that's how I wish this worked.
Yeah, it won't ever until they do understand it. But you know what, Lance, going back between the two departments, if it was a test run for some reverse engineered crafts, I would absolutely put it in the Department of Defense section.
Sure, yeah.
Because that's more likely, you know, who's going to be using those things.
So going back to this 16,000 ton coal train. It was a coal train, correct?
Yep.
Just from experience and growing up here in the beautiful hills of God's country in Appalachia, that is at least a two engine pull with at least one pushing behind, probably two. That's probably a four engine affair if it was full, maybe three at the most, but definitely two in the front. We both agree on that.
Yeah.
Every coal train that's pulled 100 cars has that much. It's always two. They need the strength. And if I remember, there's a train that would go right by my house, or not my house, but on the road to church where I grew up. And it always came through. It seems like right at church time, you're always trying to get there before so you weren't late. But I distinctly, especially as young, right, count the cars and see how many cars are on the train. It was one way to get the train to pass because it would sit there and wait. But I remember those CSX blue and yellow engines, they always had identification numbers on the front of them, correct? Left-hand corner, I think, what we would call the bumper, not really the bumper, but the left-hand corner of it would have a CS and I think three or four numbers that followed, or maybe three numbers. And we in agreement of this?
Yes.
Yes. So if an engine was crashed into by anything, enough that caused the power to malfunction, to kick on the emergency brakes, to cause them to at least stop and check and make sure things were working again, wouldn't you be able to find what number engine that was, the damage that was done, and what they did to repair it? And then if they put that out of commission, or if it was off the train, off the rails for a while, or wouldn't there be a paper trail?
Unless it was all redacted.
That would have to be somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, you would think so if anybody was looking. I mean, that's the thing. Whenever, you know, I started this whole thing, this occurred on January the 14th of 2002, but it wasn't reported to this National UFO Reporting Center until 4 years later, April the 3rd of 2006. So you have this report come out.
So we're assuming that they shut this up for 4 years.
Why not?
Let's take the conspiracy angle of this, that the Homeland Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, the Department of keeping the aliens away from the Americans, whatever it is. Like, we're assuming conspiracy angle tells us that it took them 4 years. This is a 4 year cover up. It was 4 years before somebody was able to get this information out. Either it was, you know, censored on the internet, or the guy finally 4 years later was able to get enough leeway to get this information out, that they had enough evidence. They found out what it was, that they felt okay with allowing this account to come out. Is that, you know, if we're going straight conspiracy angle, that's what we're saying, right? That it took them 4 years to be able to get this account. Because listen, I've never driven a train, never been a conductor on a train.
Thank God.
Absolutely. But if I am the conductor of this train, and this train gets hit by a UFO, and then I go through the suits coming and checking everything out and have a conversation with Ferguson, and Ferguson takes my cell phone and all this stuff, you know, as soon as I get back to the house, whenever that was, 30 minutes later or 3 months later, you know, the first thing I'm doing, telling somebody what happened, right? I'm letting people know, hey, there's a UFO that hit my train and they tried to make me not say anything, but now I'm able to. I don't care if they come and get me or not. People need to know this happened.
But Lance,
for your cover up.
But under the basis for national security, it was advised and it would be extremely beneficial and appreciated if they didn't say anything.
But he did.
4 years later.
But if it's that great of a national security threat, you shut it down forever.
Yeah, on an individual basis, how many people do we see that break NDAs all the time? I mean, honestly.
So, I just, I'm not saying this isn't true. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's a lot of stuff that kind of doesn't add up here. Which is UFO case. Of course it doesn't. But like, we had Dick on a couple months ago or whatever, and he was giving us his UFO account. Like, he was telling us stuff, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like, he's giving us information that makes sense. Like, seeing a UFO in the sky, having one hit your train, and you not saying anything about it for 4 years because you've been NDA'd or you've been scared or they had you locked up in a hole somewhere, whatever. I just feel like this report, when it did come out, like, I don't know, it just seems a little bit fishy to me.
Okay, what if this guy only had 4 years left until he could retire from the railroad? And he decided, you know what? If I go against what these government officials are saying, if I go against what my supervisors have told me after their questioning, saying, you know what? You probably shouldn't. If they told you not to talk about it, you probably shouldn't talk about it. What if he retires and says, you know what? I'm done. I don't have a job to lose. They can't just withhold my pension and all this stuff.
They can, actually.
Well, I mean, they can, but probably not for talking about UFOs. That would probably be a way bigger crap storm.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know. I get everything that you're saying.
And is there more than, I wish I had a better working knowledge of how the railroad worked. But isn't there more than one person? There's not just one conductor per train, right?
No, this guy said that it was him and his conductor. So he wasn't even the conductor. He was it was him and a conductor.
The engineer and conductor, I would assume, right? Yeah, that would kind of make.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, it said him and his conductor, it said two engines were pulling, that both engines shut down whenever they saw the things. His watch stopped at 2:47. All the electronics started going haywire. They lost power. Like, all classic, you know, UFO stuff. But, like, what I keep coming back to, and, like, this is why I love this show, and this is why I love you boys. Like, Ryan's stuck on what department is actually investigating this because he's former military. Okay.
No, I was actually just playing out a scenario in my head where the alien like comes to her and he's like, holy shit, I got hit by a train. He's like, they're going to come back and check on me. I really feel more comfortable if we could exchange information. get this taken care of.
Can we exchange insurances? We've got Geico on my planet too. But no, like, this is why I love you boys. I swear.
It's just 2002, right?
Yes, sir.
He thought to this being maybe a drone flown by the military as a practice exercise. That would have been the heat of the war in Afghanistan, right?
It's possible. It's totally possible.
And then the suits that showed up were Homeland Security or Department or, you know, whoever. That, oh no, we got some technology here, unmanned drone, that we don't want people to know how we're doing this or how we're operating these things. And if some hillbilly gets a hold of this thing and tears it apart, he's going to figure it out, because that's what's going to happen, right? I mean, just, you think about it. You think about just any of the people that we know or just us, and we find this thing, they break this thing apart and see how it works. And they're going to, we're going to figure it out eventually. It's not going to be, we're going to write it down, and it's not going to be nowhere near the schematically wrought language that was used to invent it and make it. But in our terms, I'll be able to explain it to you. You knew exactly what I was talking about.
And it's going to work.
A lot of doohickeys and hickamajiggers. That's what it's going to be.
That's another possibility. It was a training exercise that went awry or whatever. And they had to come out and clean up the mess.
That's totally possible.
SpaceX is a deep seated American organization, that has plenty of government funding anyways, plenty of subsidies that's going on through that as well. Cause that's one of the 12 railways, in the nation that pretty much transport everything. So, the lobbyists in the pockets of that is Washington deep as well. So it makes sense that if that was a military exercise gone awry that we can't let people figure out or know. One, know what we have. Two, know that we're testing it. And three, know that, hey, it didn't work, right? So they've come in and tried to clean up mess, and that's why there was such a delay of information. That's why it took so much stuff and evidence of it. That's like, it's another possibility. I lean more towards that than I would E.T. crashing his bike into the train.
But then if it's a military, if it's some form of military technology, then how do you explain the two that just vanished?
They disintegrated when they blew up.
They didn't hit. There was two that didn't hit. One hit, two did.
They cloaked.
That's possible.
And they didn't disappear. They just didn't see him anymore. The cloaking technology kicked on.
Hey, look, that's extremely possible.
That seems more plausible to me than a UFO running into a train. I hope it was a UFO. Like that, to me, like if I'm wanting this to be a little green man in a UFO that ran, that had a train, that literally had a train wreck. Like that would be a great thing to be able to prove. This feels more like military testing thing that went wrong and they had to come in and clean it up.
Okay, so why, and this is just me playing devil's advocate, because it's what we do here. So why treat these guys like they have some kind of bubonic plague and clean them and like sanitize them and go to work, like making sure that, I'm pretty sure, let me go back and find that part. It says, give me just a second.
So I'm looking at this other website talking about it, and it was saying that it's worthy enough to note that there was a UFO sighting at 11:53 p.m. in Paintsville.
The same night?
Hours, on the 13th of January, 2002. So just hours before this happened. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so
if they're flying training things around, right? I mean, it's not a one shot, and they're going to do that for an extended period of time to make sure things are taken care of.
Especially all throughout this mountain range.
Right.
So never mind. When I read that, I had a different picture in my brain because, you know, where my brain goes through right off the bat. But it just says a guy named Ferguson shook my hand, asked me to follow him into the old yard office. We did. Once inside, they, and by they, I mean, I have no idea who these people were, began to ask us hundreds of questions. They then told us for our own protection, we'd be medically tested before we could leave. So that could be, hey, you just got hit by this something. Let's make sure you don't have any injuries or you know, concussions or anything like that. So what I was thinking was like, you know,
hazmat suits, washing fire hoses. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, but it just says medically tested. So
I'd like to have known, wish he would have like just mentioned some of the questions that they asked.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to not remember every question if they're asking you hundreds of questions, but you're going to remember like what they were getting at. Like you're going to remember at least some, especially in that situation. Like I feel like you're going to remember at least some of the questions that they asked you. I wish you would have said they were asking us this, this, and this, or why, you know, what we saw. I wish you would have given some more detail, not to say that hundreds of questions.
So the witness on the 13th, is a paramedic firefighter.
Yeah, I saw that.
You read that? Yeah
I did.
On their home on the shift, and it would make zigzags. A light would zigzag in front of the road, and then over top of them, roughly at a height where the trees of the road approximately 250 feet high. So they witnessed this UFO activity just hours before the incident.
But that zigzag, and to me, and again, I'm not trying to be a skeptic here. That's not what I'm trying to do. But to me,
well, that's fine.
That zigzag pattern of a light right above the trees, that tells me drone. Even in 2002, drones weren't the thing they are now, but they were able to move those drones fairly quickly back and forth. And if we're thinking military technology, they had, you know, even more technology than what they're allowing a common citizen to have, obviously.
Yeah.
Those things would be able to kind of pop back and forth with some velocity, not a whole lot, but some. And as more and more things that we hear and read about, this just feels like a military thing that's gone awry.
And again, I feel like that's extremely possible. But whether it's government or little green men flying around, it's still UFO. I mean, absolutely. Regardless, it's still something totally unidentified that, and we've talked about it on here before, you know, how much of these things, how much of the sightings that people witness, that we witness, I mean, we've all, you know, all of us here have seen something in the sky that we can't explain. I mean, I believe at this point, unless you're just absolutely not looking up at all, nobody's really seen something in the sky that, you know, or everybody's seen something in the sky they can't explain. Well, if you're not, you've never seen anything at all.
Nothing I couldn't explain.
You're going to have to get closer to the mic.
Nothing I couldn't explain.
I feel like Joe Rogan there for a minute. Could you get a little closer to the mic, please?
Hey, could you sit up there, sit up straight?
So you've never seen anything at all that made you think, what was that?
And I'm a stargazer, man. Like, yeah, one of my favorite things going up, we go out to the hunting cabin out in Grayson County. And 2 week trip every Thanksgiving, man. And there's no street lights out there. So you go out, lay in the bed of the truck, you know, dress up warm because it's freaking cold out there, but dress up warm, lay in the bed of the truck with cocoa and just do the stars. It's like the galaxy was freaking touching the ground right there. I've never seen anything that I couldn't explain to me. And I, as of lately, since we started a podcast, I've been looking. Okay. I'm all the time looking up. I'm like, gosh dang.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
I've never seen anything I couldn't explain.
Ryan, what's your take on this thing?
I'm not. One way or the other, I'm not gonna say these guys are lying. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not gonna say it's obviously a UFO, just unidentified flying object. I'm not saying aliens. It could be aliens. It could be government. It is interesting that there was a sighting earlier in the day. I think I would lean more towards government aircrafts. There's things we haven't seen, things we still haven't seen to this day.
The more that we have been doing this podcast and the more stuff I've listened to and conversations we've had with people, like, there's a small part of me that thinks that there are things out there, that other life forms that left in, come back or coming back or already here. There's a small part of me that actually, like, legitimately believes that. Like, no BS. There's a small part of me that actually thinks that. Okay. I'm not going to get into a whole diatribe of how I think the Nephilim may have got out of here, out of the flood. I have a whole bunch of things we could talk about sometime about that. Underwater caves and airplanes and all these. I'm not going to get into that. It's a whole another 2 hour conversation. All right. But the more I hear about these things, like 90% of me just thinks that it's everything that we see and we can't explain, the UAPs, UFOs, whatever you want to call them. I just think it's governmental stuff that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
I think that we call them UFOs or whatever, but I think it's not 90% of it, maybe 80% of it is just government stuff, test runs, stuff they're flying that we just don't simply know about. And I think because they have been so more open with declassifying stuff, talking about instances in which you've got fighter pilots and legitimate military people having these unusual experiences of things they cannot explain. And we as common citizens are getting more and more and more of that. I think they are kind of just releasing to get us kind of more aware of that they're watching us, right? That they're in a lot of control of things and using a lot more, I don't know, flying technology to kind of surveil and be able to see things that are going on personally.
You know, another thought I had was, who's to say it's our government testing stuff?
Sure.
You know, also with the engines being killed and flickering and the vehicle, the witness, the paramedic firefighter witness, their vehicle did the same thing. Lights flashing on. Never completely died, but they were having like all kinds of crap happening with their car. I'm thinking EMP.
Sure, yeah.
Could have been.
Like if you're not wanting somebody to be filming your secret military stuff, what better way than to just wreck all the electronic technology around you?
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot more stuff up there flying around that we just like don't know about. They don't want us to know about, and that it's there for surveillance, for test runs, for all these different things. I just think about it, guys. The freaking birds land on power lines and their feet have chargers in them. And that's how they charge the birds back up so they can continue to be surveillanced.
Yeah.
Because birds
aren't. Yeah.
But now this thing's a ton of stuff.
Justin's not joking.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about this.
I think there's a lot. And I think the more stuff that we hear about Big Brother always watching us, right? And government wanting more and more control, I think there's a lot more surveillancing going on.
I mean, just
probably realize.
Just go watch what you call it, Snowden.
Yep.
I love that movie. Every time I watch it, I'm paranoid as hell for like the next week. I'm like, wait, what? I want to point my phone at my face. I hold it straight up in the air. You know, I keep the camera away from me.
You should be, dude. You should be, because they're watching everything. There is nothing.
The greatest technological events and surveillance of the last 70 years has been the cell phone. We literally have mini trackers we all carry around all the time.
Yep.
That's right where we're at. That's what we're doing, what we're saying. I mean, it's the greatest surveillance technology that they've come up with. Appreciate
Lance,
that, Steve. Thanks,
Lance,
Steve.
While this is on my mind, I need to go ahead and tell you, I don't know if Justin has or not, but there's something happening Saturday. We don't know what it is.
September the 24th, something's going on.
Yeah.
Solar flare is supposed to hit.
Yeah.
So we need you. But if you go back and look where that originated from, because you've always been down that rabbit hole, what was that?
What was that?
That was Ashley's phone.
Oh, I thought they were listening to this.
I thought we had an EVP.
I thought we broke through and they were listening to this.
The ghost. Yeah. Ashley. You freaked everybody out. We thought the government was listening in on us and we could hear them talking.
Sorry, these things.
But I was reading on that today because I kind of dove down that rabbit hole as well. That is coming from the German politician that said September the 24th will be a day none of us will forget, correct? Yeah, I think that was what was said in a speech he was giving. And if you go and continue to read some, they actually kind of walk some of that back that he misspoke. And he was meaning that when Russia invaded Ukraine, whatever day that was, February 24th, maybe, or something like that effect, that he meant that's what he was trying to say. That's now I'm not, that's the walk back. That's what they're saying. You know, that's the
them Justin,
cover up.
There's nothing to worry about.
Gosh, of course, that's what they said.
Yeah, even me, when I read that, I was like, okay, of course. They're
okay, we've got.
This is the most important part. I need you to remember this series of numbers. And Hill folk, you need to remember this series of numbers.
Okay, but this don't have necessarily to do with what's going on September the 24th.
Oh, I thought this is when it was happening.
No, these two, we've just been talking about them together, and they've kind of been coinciding together. Okay.
I'm the last snow ever. You made me look like an ass on the podcast.
Now, look, okay, let's finish this one, and then we'll get to the numbers, okay?
Yeah, we derailed. We don't want to do that.
Derailed while we're talking about train collisions, baby. Talking about train collisions, and we're derailing. We just got hit by a UFO. All right, so we're going to finish this out real quick, and then we'll get into the numbers. But I have a brief PSA to deliver before you give these numbers out, okay?
Okay.
All right. So September the 24th, all right, there's a few options that could possibly be happening. EMP, nuclear bomb, solar flare, pole shift, aliens, or zombies.
It's a pretty broad spectrum.
Yeah, that's a super broad spectrum, but you need to be prepared for all of them. And I think you prepare the same way with all for all of those things.
Now, listen to the Appalachian Intelligence Podcast.
You listen to the Appalachian Intelligence Podcast. You become a proud card-carrying member of the Hill Folk community, and make sure you got plenty of canned food and water supply, and have some ammo around, just or at least have a neighbor that has like a arsenal like I do. I mean, it comes in real handy. Yeah. You can trade one can of beefaroni for like a whole box of ammo.
People have been talking that like for the month of September. Like, you listen to some of these podcasts, how the month of September is going to be a huge food shortage, going to be all these things that happen. A lot of that was predicated on the railroad strikes. They were thinking it was going to hit, and they were thinking it would cause some problems. And of course, as we all figured they would, they figured it out. We kind of expected that to happen. A little fear mongering. Yeah, we're going to strike. And then when it comes to, you know, rubber meets the road, or rail train wheel meets the metal, I guess. That they
where the metal meets the metal.
Metal meets the metal. They kind of would figure things out, which is essentially what happened. And I think that was what we heard. I mean, if you listened to this, you heard it for the last couple months. Like, September's going to be a bad month. September's going to be a bad month. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a bad month. And then that kind of hasn't happened. Like, things aren't – supply chain stuff's still not great, but like, there's not been major food shortages like that had been predicted. So now, do you think this is just the next thing?
Hey, Lance, quit shitting on Justin's thing.
This ain't even my thing, dude. This ain't even my thing. This is coming from external sources, okay? I've just been having a good time with it.
I dove down this rabbit hole today. I mean, because I hadn't heard this, and I saw somebody mention it.
Wait, am I going deaf?
On it.
It must be your headset, Ryan. No, headset.
It just came back.
Oh, okay. There's always, look, guys, that's the thing. Like, I love my counterculture community. I love people that are always looking ahead and trying to figure out what's on the horizon. You know, people that are reading the tea leaves. And here's my thing. I say, be prepared like Jesus is coming back in the next 10 minutes. All right. Excuse me. Have a relationship with Jesus like he's coming back in the next 10 minutes, but prepare yourself as if he's not coming back in your lifetime and things are just going to keep getting worse. That's the way I look at it. Because, look, again, we watched these doomsday prepper shows, you know, 20 years ago when I was a kid, and I was thinking, these guys are nutcases, man. They are loco in the cabeza.
You know what, though? There's still some of them that are so easy. It's like, well, I told y'all that one show where the dude's like, talking about, yeah, new neighbors moved in. He took in some walkie-talkies, like, here, we're on this channel. And if this happens and this happens, if I was those new neighbors, I'd be like, son of a bitch.
I like him. I like him. I say we get him on the show.
We didn't win on this one.
No, I like him. I would gladly make him my neighbor. Dude, we would we would have all these awesome paramilitary drills when everything hits the fan, wrote down. We'd have everything planned out. Okay. Now that we don't think something has happened on September the 20th. And here's the thing too. If something really was going to happen on September the 24th, and like most other things that happened, it was being orchestrated by the puppet masters, the elites of the world. They're not going to do it now because everybody knows about it. They're not going to do something and have something happen when everybody knows.
Isn't that kind of crazy though, too? Like just one guy says something in a speech thousands of miles away and could have very easily just misspoke. I mean, just very easily, really like legitimately could have just made a mistake. Poor Joe Biden does it every day, right? Could legitimately just made a mistake. And it turned into the world's going to end on September 24th. Solar flares and zombies and the White Walkers and the everything else is going to come to an end. And
you know what?
Winter is coming.
Real stupid. On September the 24th. You're going to feel real stupid when they drop a nuke September 24th.
Do y'all got any drag?
I'm going to call you first, Lance. Mm hmm.
Y'all got any dragon glass? Lance said White Walkers were coming. I need some dragon glass.
They got a dragon eye.
I wonder if coal works the same as obsidian because we got plenty of coal.
Since I may be possessed by the spirit of a dragon, I could like, you know, winter's coming. I could always pee outside and freeze it.
Yeah, totally.
Dragon glass.
Okay,
dragon,
Ryan.
Dragon eyes.
Okay, Ryan.
Freeze pee. Possible.
Now you can hit them with the numbers, but
please give me the numbers.
Quick little PSA here. Heel folk. Let me get really close to the mic for this.
Get real close.
Heel folk. Once you hear these numbers, the game has started and you will now be an active participant in this game, whether you want to be or not. So if you don't want to hear these numbers, if you don't want to hear the numbers to be able to exit the matrix, go ahead and tune us out right now.
But
if you are willing to hear these numbers,
become Jim Carrey,
and to have the opportunity to exit the matrix.
Red pill, blue pill.
And no, stay tuned.
The binary code.
Ryan, give them the code.
Okay, so here's the thing. The first time this code was discovered, it was said that a man in a red jacket would show up. You would give him the code. He would take you to the exit.
Hold on. You got to explain what the man in the red jacket is doing.
Santa Claus?
Not Santa Claus, Lance. Not Come Santa on, Claus. Get serious here for a minute, will you?
Jesus Christ, we're trying to be serious. We're trying to get out of the matrix. Gosh dang.
So a man in a red jacket will show up outside of your window.
Outside of your window.
And he will start screaming, not just talking. He'll scream instructions at you, telling you need to hurry it up. And he'll ask for this code. You have to follow him to exit the matrix. Now, here's the thing. You have to be extremely careful because there will be dark entities watching you and surrounding you the entire time that this is going on. But as long as you stay with the man in the red jacket, you'll be okay.
I just gave myself goosebumps by imagining this guy standing outside my window and me like turning my camera around. Like, just there, you can see my eyes like really big. I was like,
guys, give me the numbers. Give me the numbers. So now you don't have to worry about the man in the red jacket. Because we missed him. Yeah, we missed him. Apparently, we missed that timeline. So now it's a woman with unusual hair, which I asked Justin, there's a lot of unusual hairdos out there, you know, not knocking them, you know, do your hair, it's your hair, do whatever you want with it. I'm just saying, out of the norm, what does unusual mean? Like, is it going to be like snakes or knives or something? Like, but anyway, when this woman comes, and that's all it says, you just gonna give her this code. And then she'll help you exit the matrix. And the binary code is 0010110.
Say it again.
0010110.
So that's it, Hill folk. That's it.
We'll see you on the other side.
If a man in a red jacket, if he comes back, we may have missed him. We may have missed that train. See, train again.
Full circle.
We may have missed that boat. We're not talking about boats.
Half circle.
But if this man in the red jacket comes back and you choose to exit the matrix, now, we're not real sure what that means, okay? We're not real sure if that just means, hey, you know what? I'm waking up and I understand everything that's going on around me now. Or if that means, hey, I'm going to some other different timeline or dimension or reality and I ain't got a clue what's going to be there when I get there. We don't really know. But if you're in a hard spot, if you don't know what to do with your life, if you don't find all the enjoyment that you need in this world from Appalachian intelligence, which you definitely should, we should carry you through the week. And this man in the red jacket or a lady with unusual hair, whatever that means, if they show up and they ask for this code, hey, there it is. We have given you the secret to exit the matrix. You're welcome.
I have a question.
No questions, Lance. No questions. This is not questionable in any way.
But I have a real question.
Okay, go. I'll ask the man in the red jacket.
Were you trying to shut this down for the night? You were, weren't you?
When?
Right just then. That was your closing to this.
No. We'll go for however long. I don't care.
It would have worked.
Like, I have an actual, like, legitimate question.
Okay, Lance, ask.
The reason that I'm here is to ask questions.
Yeah, we know.
Most of mine.
We know. We regret that decision every day.
It doesn't bother me any.
No, we don't.
The skin's too thick for that.
It's too late.
Where does this... Where did it come? Where did you hear about this? Where did this come from?
The man in the red jacket leaked it on the internet.
No, this came from the most reliable source out there. Look, folks, hey, cut off CNN, turn off Fox News, turn off MSNBC. Shoot, don't turn off Sports Center for that matter. Everything Disney owned is going crazy. All right. This is from the only reliable source that's left out there, TikTok.
Isn't Disney own like 40% of TikTok?
Disney owns everything, dude.
So I'm not hip with the... Y'all have teenagers. I do not. So this is like a TikTok trend right now?
Oh, yeah, dude. Look,
it's a trend. I had never heard of it. And I watch quite a bit of TikTok. That's where I get sent you guys most of those videos.
We have an external source, okay, that a lot of information is coming from. And I can't even mention his name. I can't mention his name. I can't mention who he is. He is like, okay, you know how I feel like there's actually a shadow government running the U.S., okay, and there's a shadow cabal that's running the world. Well, this guy is the shadow brain behind Appalachian intelligence, okay? He is, oh, Oh my God. He is the intelligence behind Appalachian intelligence.
I don't think I go that far. That's first of all, this dude, I've been there.
You can't say been there. You can't say anything about this, you're going to give him away.
We've known this person quite some time.
You almost had to die right then. And
we see him a lot and talk to him a lot. And just keeps coming up with stories like, you couldn't have mentioned this a year ago, like when we started this thing. Like, we've been doing this podcast for how long? You just now thought to mention shit like this. Like, he's talking about all these different things. He says, I thought I seen UFO one time. What? Come on.
He's seen UFOs on the lake. He's been to Brown Mountain. He was talking about a place around here where these satanic rituals were happening, that he knows where it's at. Like, he got a lot, and he just decides to bring this up, you know, like, I don't know, like months and months after we're talking about some of these things and speculating on. But hey, when there is an intelligence behind something, it's not always on time, but the timing is always perfect.
I don't know. We could have used some of those stories way back. But
all right. Here's my final thoughts. Okay. So, Lance, you think final thoughts on the UFO hitting the train? Military, correct?
Yes.
Ryan, you think it's military, correct?
Government. Some form of government. Somebody's government.
Okay. I think.
Portals.
definitely portals. I think, all right, Hellier, Hopkinsville, they're not too far away to either side, so that's where these goblins are coming through, right? Some people have theorized that these goblins are these little green men that have these goggles and antenna-like structures on their heads that make them look like goblins, but it's really just like technology, like, you know, facial technology. So I believe that these things probably travel around interdimensionally through portals back and forth, especially through Kentucky. Okay. I don't know what it is about Kentucky, but these little green men love some Kentucky. I don't know. Maybe they love bluegrass. Actually, I heard in an old episode of the Hollow Sky podcast the other day, it's called You Throwaway Aliens. This guy kept getting abducted over and over and over and over, and said that the aliens told him that their favorite music was bluegrass. That's why they love Kentucky. We just solved it.
Bluegrass state.
We solved it.
Yep. Figured it out.
Shout out again to our boys at the Hollow Sky podcast. When this episode is dropping on Monday, we will also be on an episode of theirs, of the Hollow Sky podcast. They were kind enough to bring us on the show, on their show, and sit down and chat with us for a while about, you know, all the crazy stuff that's going on with our, silver mine adventures and all the information that we're finding out on it and the cliff rock carvings and some paranormal things that have happened in our lives. So y'all be sure to go check that out on their show and be sure to check out everything else. I mean, I know that they have a way bigger following than we have here, but hey, every download counts.
Yeah.
Every five-star review counts. every little bit of love you can send another show, it counts. And people like Kyle and Steve at Hollow Sky, they have poured a lot of love on us. So whatever we can give back, you heal folk, give it back, please.
Yeah, even if it's not your cup of tea, man, like you don't want to listen to it, just subscribe to them, give them the love, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it should definitely be your cup of tea. If you're listening to this show, they're great. You'll love their show.
They're great.
5-star rating and review, DM us your address. We want to send you our stickers.
We want to give you these stickers.
To give you these things and show your appreciation, or show our appreciation for your appreciation, so we can appreciate each other, appreciate people.
You know, also coming up in October, we're going to really go hard in the paranormal. So if there's anything you guys are particularly creeped out about, want to hear about, maybe we can come up with some things you never heard about that particular subject. Send that in.
We're going to come with a cool, catchy name for it, too. I've got a couple I'm tossing around in my head.
Do you?
For October?
Yep.
Well, let's hear them. Like Shocktober? Spooktober?
Yeah. That's something that flashed until. I got a couple
things. Heel Folktober?
I got a couple things, boys.
Heel Folktober? Hey, see that? I got nipples, Focker. Can you milk me? I think he actually says Greg there, but Focker's just way cooler to say.
Yeah, they missed that right there.
All right, with that, that's when you know that it's definitely time to stop recording, when we start quoting movies. Heel Folk, again, we appreciate you guys so much. We appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to go leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. DM us your address. We'll send you a sticker. October is going to be super sweet and scary. Y'all stick with us. Send us your stories. Send us your stories, please, at appalachianintelligence@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube. Follow us on all the socials. Just come hang out, man. And don't be afraid. Like, look, we are totally approachable dudes. All right. We're nobodies that just want to have a community and have the conversations. So if you find something interesting in an episode, hey, shoot us an email about it. If you possibly want to come on a show for anything, shoot us an email or direct message or whatever. I don't care. I'll give you my phone number. Just text me, call me. I mean, we're approachable. All right. We're doing this to build a community, to build a tribe of weirdos just like us. All right. So we love you. Send us everything you can send us. And until next time,
Lovians mean it.
All later.